secret place. And this morning, we want to really, really get practical. If you don't walk away with something you can apply this morning, either I failed or you haven't listened. And if I failed, well, you just email me and call me and we'll figure it out for next week. But listen, when I was in high school, I applied for a team called a SALT team. Not an assault team, SALT. S-A-L-T. My goodness, there's a difference there, isn't it? It's called Serving and Learning Together. And Gavin Work here, who was playing bass up here, he led that whole program and with some other leaders and pastors. And part of the training was that I needed to really do some reading and consideration of my own devotional and prayer life. And so we were given a book. I still have it in my library. I've given away a bunch of times. I've had to chase down new copies. And just a great book that taught all about listening to God and hearing God and how we approach the Bible and how to spend time with God. And at the end of one of the chapters, it had this challenge. And I can remember sitting in my room going through this. And I think I started reading the book probably because I had to. I'm a bit of a rule follower that way often. And but I just remember having a moment with God. And the commitment said, I agree to spend at least 20 minutes a day with God. And I put my name on it and I dated it. And it's been an uphill battle ever since. The commitment was good, but the follow through wasn't always where it should be. We've all had that. You've had that. You've made some commitments to God. You've wanted to spend time with Him. And it's been an on and off again relationship. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. And so you pick up where you left off and you keep going. Sure you have. I guarantee you have. And especially with this topic of prayer, if you have followed Jesus for any time, I guarantee you've had this, where you've tried to pray and it hasn't gone well, or there's been seasons where it has. The real question is, how do I develop a prayer life? How do I develop a prayer life? Anytime I have taken leaps ahead, it isn't because I'm not lacking, because I'm lacking teaching or the leading of the Holy Spirit or a pathway forward. It's generally because I've taken that in the moment, been emotional about it, and never made a plan forward and never involved that decision in community. It's always been my decision with me on my own, and every single time I make a decision on my own, in my own strength, for whatever reason, even if it's as good as becoming a person of prayer, I fail every single time. And so we've already looked at why pray, how to pray, how to listen to God. If you haven't gone through those, check out our website, download the MP3s. Because this is really important stuff for us to learn. And so this morning I want to look at the reality of how we can develop a prayer life. 2 weeks ago we looked at Luke 11, and so the disciples came up to Jesus and they said, hey, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus taught them how to pray, and he taught them the Lord's Prayer, not as something rote to go through, but as a model. And Jesus taught that, I'm convinced, time and time again. Do you know that when we come across accounts in the New Testament where Jesus is teaching, he probably didn't teach that for the first time in that way. And throughout the Gospels, you might say, well, Jesus taught that in this, but this author says it happened this way. It's probably because he taught similar things as he went. And in Matthew 6, we come across that again. Jesus is teaching the same thing we see in Luke 11 about how to pray, but he's teaching his disciples. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And really, in Luke 11, he's teaching how to pray, but it's really what types of approach we need, that we need to come with this desperation, with shameless boldness. But here he's getting really practical on just not what to pray, but how to do it. And so if you turn with me into Matthew chapter 6, we'll look at this together. Matthew 6, verses 5 and forward. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. So why bother praying if He knows? Because it's about relationship, and He gives us a pathway forward. First of all, let's notice the reality. Jesus assumes the disciples are praying. It's an assumption that the disciples are praying. These are people who grew up in a Jewish culture. They would have learned prayers. They would have repeated prayers. People stood public all the time and prayed in the synagogue. He's not talking about, don't pray publicly. But he's teaching how to do that. And there's two main things he says. Two main things. First of all, learn to pray by praying alone. And secondly, be real. If you pick up anything this morning, learn to pray by praying alone and be real. And he's not speaking against publicly praying. In fact, he prayed publicly all the time. Clearly, Jesus isn't saying, don't pray publicly. He's saying, don't pray like these Pharisees, these hypocrites who are only praying publicly because they're trying to show people something they're not, because likely they're not spending any time with God on their own, and so they're making up for that by showing off to others. So the first thing, learn to pray by praying alone. What does he mean by that? Well, he's simply giving us a way and a format and a forum to learn to pray. You don't have to be in a prayer closet. You don't have to be in a prayer room with a shut door. You do need to be alone, because that's where you learn to pray. You learn to pray by praying, and you do that by being alone with God. I think the reward that Jesus is speaking about here, often there's a lot of speculation. What on earth is the reward he's speaking about? I think the reward is God. I think the reward for getting alone and praying to your Father who's unseen is the reward of his presence. And the reward of him changing you. The reward is God. And God says again and again, seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. So for me, I just get up early, or I just stay up late and I go somewhere quiet in the house, and it doesn't much matter that you have a prayer closet or a prayer room. But Jesus' second point is linked to that, learning to pray by praying alone. And it's actually, I think, is more a main point, and it's be real. Be real. Prayer is not simply about being alone or praying publicly. It really doesn't matter where you pray. It's about how you pray. What's your motivation? What's your heart? The balance is the motivation. Don't pray only publicly so people can see you and think that you're something you're not. If you're empty spiritually and you don't have a good prayer life and you have no clue how to pray, then, you know, spend some time alone with God, and he does the teaching. Right? Jesus doesn't say, here's these five things you need to do when you get alone with God, and here's this, you know, this book and this thing. He said, you know what? God's going to take care of you, and his presence is enough, and you need to just simply go somewhere, shut the door, get alone, and pray, because your Father who's unseen sees the unseen things in you anyway, and he longs to have that relationship with you. The only way you can grow as a Christian, the only way you can deepen your relationship with God as a follower of Jesus, is spending time alone with God. It's not through church, small groups, programs, books, Christian radio, any of those things. Those are all really good things. I'm not speaking against those, in the same way that Jesus is not speaking against praying publicly, saying that's a good thing. But the way that you deepen is you get alone and you be real. If you're looking to be rewarded by others, Jesus says, you will. If you want to just take that lower tone when you pray to your Heavenly Father to impress others, you can. If you want to add a bunch of fancy words when you're praying in front of others, you can. But if your heart motivation is to impress others, then God gives you what you seek for. He says, if you seek for that, that's your reward. Done. There you go. But if you seek me, if you come before me, who sees your heart anyway, and you can't hide anything, then your reward is God's presence, the fullness of God. You can't impress God. Have you ever done that? Hands up for me. I've tried to impress some people at the back, right? Trying to impress God, right? You try and pray the right way, because if you pray the right way, he might answer, right? So, God, I pray, because if you do this, it's for your glory, and everyone will... You know, you're trying to use fancy words or theology. Jesus says you can't impress God. If you think he listens because of your fancy words, your deep theology, or your long prayers, repeating. Prayer doesn't have to be long. You don't have to pray 2 hours a day. That would be wonderful to get to that type of maturity where your relationship is that deep. So when you pray, be yourself by yourself, okay? When you pray, be yourself by yourself. Doesn't mean you don't pray publicly, but this is where you learn to pray. So when you're developing a prayer life, it's a lot like dating, okay? It's a lot like dating. When you start dating someone, it's a little awkward, and you have to set up specific times to meet because you don't know one another. You have to say, we're going to meet at such and such a place, and then next week we'll meet in such and such a place. And if the goal of dating were just to meet with such and such a person in such and such a place, then that would be pretty silly. So you talk to this girl you like or this guy you like, and you meet in this place, and next week you meet in this place, and the next week you meet in the place, and you ask again, should we meet in this place? And I'm going to continue to meet in this place. And that's it. Your relationship doesn't grow. You're not around each other anywhere else other than that. That's not much of a relationship. What happens in dating as you meet in this place, and you discover one another a little bit more, and you start to spend more time together. And so you still meet in places, and you still set time, but the more you grow, the more you're just kind of naturally around each other, to the point that when you're married, when you enter into covenant relationship together, you're around each other all the time. You don't have to go, hey, why don't we meet at this address tonight after work, because I think we can probably have supper together, and then I think there's a bed we can sleep in, and I think there's probably breakfast in the cupboard the next morning. It's your house. You know, you're there, you're together. You don't have to set that up. And developing a prayer life is the same way. If you've ever tried or you're trying to start again, it's a little awkward, and you have to set up times. But the point of developing a prayer life, of spending time alone with God, isn't so that every day you spend time alone with God. Sometimes we think, you know, God's really impressed with us. Look, I did 5 days in a row. Do I get a star or a check? Or God, that's foolishness. It's important that we do that, but it's to develop a relationship so that throughout the rest of the day, we're speaking and listening to God. But here's the crazy thing. Healthy couples who've been married for years, what do? Once a week, what do they have? A date night. Crazy, right? So the point of dating is to get in relationship with one another deeply. You're one flesh, but you don't give up on spending time alone. Why? Because life happens, kids stick Cheerios up their nose, you lose jobs, work goes crazy, you've got that nutty family member who needs to stay overnight. You've got all this busyness, and in the busyness, it's hard to focus on your spouse and stay connected at a deep level. So you need to push all that aside and reserve some time to be alone. When you develop your prayer life, it starts a little awkward in the beginning, and you develop a prayer life, a time, a set time. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes you have to schedule that thing out. But as you grow in your relationship with Jesus, as you grow, you'll find this, that your prayer life becomes a life of prayer. And you go back daily, daily to spend time with God, because you need to be able to hear God and speak to him and know what he's doing all the time. Do you know, last Sunday we talked about that. You can know what God's telling you all the time, but you've got to learn to listen and learn to speak and learn to spend time with him when the distractions are gone, so that when the distractions are there, you can do the same, but you need to take that breath, take that pause every day with God. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And he prayed in front of them. A prayer life, though, the alone time, the dating, leads to a life of prayer, leads to that marriage. But you don't give up on the other. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he prayed in front of them. And here's where my prayer life got off the rails all the time. I didn't realize that my prayer life was not about me. I didn't realize my prayer life was not about me. Although Jesus taught them to go into the room alone and shut the door, what he was really saying was, that's how you learn on your own. But I'm teaching you, and we're praying together because we are in community and we need each other. We need each other, hold each other accountable. So a better way to say that first statement is, when we pray, be yourself by yourself with others. You're still alone. You're still alone learning to pray, but you take others with you in the sense that others are with you in the journey. Others are with you in the journey. You need, okay, here's a need. You need one or two other people. You need one or two other people who can ask you the tough questions. Now, last week we talked about hearing God, and when you listen to God, you take what you think he's saying and you hold it lightly open in your hands, knowing that you're human and you're fallible and you can be wrong, and you run it past the grid, the boundary of God's word, and then you take that to his people, to one or two other people you trust, and say, look, I think this is biblical. I think this is what God's saying, and could you confirm that? This is the flip side to that coin. You need your people, Okay, we'll just call them your people. You need your people. Your one or two other people you can go to and be on that level. You need your people, your one or two others who can come to you, who you've given permission to say, ask me anything. I will be completely honest. I have horribly, totally failed in spending time alone with God and maturing as a Christian in the times I haven't, gone to others and set that up. Most of us are waiting for it to happen. I just wish I had a friend or a relationship, and you need to pray for that. But sometimes you're called to get up out of your chair, make a call, send an email, send a text, find someone after church, go be involved in something with other believers so you get in proximity so you can say, would you be my people? Would you be my people? Because we need that. I have people who ask me regularly, how's it going? And here's what else they ask me. What are you praying for? What is God saying? What are you reading? So it can't just be, it's going good. I'm spending time with God. I have to actually do it. And in the beginning phases, it was the guilt, right? It was the guilt. They're going to ask me. I'm going to look like a fool, right? God uses that motivation. That is not a good long-term plan, right? But it works for a time as the awkwardness and dating Jesus begins. It works. And you need people who are your people because you got to pray, you got to be yourself by yourself with others. If I don't have people in my life, guess what? I so procrastinate, I'm horribly lazy. If I don't have people, that's the way we are. Some of you are like type A personalities and you're like, I'll nail this, I don't need anyone. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because when the wheels come off, when you really need someone, then you don't even have that basic relationship with someone who can even just ask you how you're doing. You need to find one or two other people. And you also need tracks to run down. So today you're listening, and let's say you're not spending much time with God. Okay? No guilt. Okay? Don't walk out of here guilty. This is not a guilt. Hey, you should be doing that. I'm inviting you to something. Let's say you're not doing that too much, and you think, I should be doing that. Right? We could all walk away and say, I should be doing that. You know what's going to happen tomorrow morning? You're going to get up, and you're going to be on your way to work, and you're going to go, I think I should have probably spent some. And the next day, it'll be kind of an afterthought. You need a plan. So this morning, I want to help you with a plan. It won't matter if you have people if you're not doing it, right? So this morning, I want to help you set a plan. There's a few practical things I want you to consider in planning to spend time alone with God, in planning to develop a prayer life so that you can have a life of prayer. There's very practical things. Jesus wasn't all spiritual and ethereal. He said, here's what you do, okay? Get alone, go in a room by yourself, and pray. Can we do this, guys? Let's talk about this. And that's what I want to help you. So first of all, you need a time and a place. Making a decision ahead of time will rob Satan and your flesh of a lot of power. If you decide, I'm going to go at this time every day in this place, you're not going to wrestle that through. Because if you don't, you probably won't, if you're saying, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. every morning and pray till 7, that won't happen either. Let's be realistic, okay? Pick a good time, a good place, so that you can begin, all right? If you're dating someone, your first date probably shouldn't be a Mediterranean cruise vacation. All right? Lots of time and intimacy and stuff. It's not the way it should be. It should be something small, something you can get away from if they're weird. Just a little bit of time, right? A little bit. God's not weird, but you are, and he won't leave you. So you set a little bit of time, whatever that may be, in a consistent time and place, and you decide beforehand. Now, Jesus prayed in the morning. Jesus prayed late at night, in the middle of the afternoon. He spent nights of prayer. A lot of people, when you hear, plan out a time of prayer, you have to start it in the morning. No, you don't. You pick the best place and time for you, but you do it with God. Now, I think morning's best because it starts your day off well, but some people are just not morning people. And it's a struggle, and you war against yourself, and you set yourself up for failure. Spend time with God when it works best for how he created you. He knows. He just wants you to be with him. All right, secondly, prepare. Cut out time wasters by deciding what you're going to do ahead of time. So you wake up, 6:30 in the morning, kind of groggy, and you stumble out of bed and you go in the living room, and what now? I don't know. Okay, so it's terrible for 4 or 5 days and you give up. That's what will happen. Just decide what you're going to do. Cut out time wasters. Decide what you're going to do beforehand. Have the space ready. Bible, pen, journal, develop a prayer list. I have a prayer list. I went to Pastor Mark. Some of you know him who planted this church. When I was in my young 20s, and I said, I want to be a better prayer. And I got this huge list, and I feel discouraged. And he said, that's craziness. I can't pray through a list of everything I want to pray through every day. So I have a prayer list of things I pray for every day, and then I divide it up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and weekends. And then below that, I have added over the years prayers of the New Testament, because I don't know how to pray the way I should. I just kind of do it. I go in my room by myself and try it out. So I pray other prayers that I see in the New Testament. I make them my own, so I learn to pray as well. And so that's what I do practically. So I have those things ready to go. I know where I'm going to be reading. And God changes that as you mature. Sometimes last week I was reading one place and God said, no, I went somewhere else, and it was exactly what I needed. But you need to start with plans. So figure it out beforehand. Prepare. And what to do? What do I do when I'm there? Well, you start with what takes you deepest, quickest. Some people like music, reading, prayer, listening, silence, whatever takes you deepest, quickest, go there first, and then you should be doing at least three things during your time. Reading, even if you're reading a devotional, it should always point back to God's word. Do you want to know why? Because if you're just reading some guy or some girl's thoughts, you can go, I kind of disagree with that guy or that girl. I'm not going to do that. If you're reading God's word, you either have to disagree with God or obey him. So make sure it's founded, it's principled in God's word, and you should be speaking and listening, talking to God in prayer, and listening to God in prayer. Do those three things. And the final one is be consistent so that you start well. Okay, you can't nail this on your own. You need your people to ask you and to challenge you. Oh, well, why isn't it working? Or what could you do different? Or what is God saying to you? Or how can I help you? Can we pray together? Can we? We need our people. So I want you to take some time this morning in commitment. I'm going to take 5 minutes and then we're done. All right? I want you to spend the next 5 minutes. Now, there's a sheet in your bulletin, all right? And if you don't have a bulletin, grab a separate piece of paper. If you don't have a separate piece of paper, you can go to the back and pick something up, find a pen, use your phone, use whatever. And here's what I want you to consider. Time. What time will you spend? What place? What will you do? And who are your people? And then we'll gather back after that time. We're just going to put some quiet music on for you to consider this. And we're just going to end with some other practical challenges so that you go away. And listen, if you have a consistent time with God, that's great. Go back to him and say, am I doing what you want? How can I deepen? How can I grow? All right, so let me pray for you, and then you make a plan with God. Father, thanks so much that you didn't just give us a book to follow. You didn't just wind the world up and step away. You desire intimate, close relationship with us. And the only way we grow is by spending time alone with you so we can know how to be in relationship with you when we're not alone with you. So give us your mind and your heart this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So a plan is not enough, but it's a start. So here's what I want you to do, all right? Oftentimes, I'm pretty nice, and I try and invite you to do things, and I don't want you to feel guilty. I'm going to guilt you, all right? Here's the two things I want you to do with what you've got in your hand, with what you've got in your heart. And if you're not done, finish it off today. Okay, today, two things. One, you're going to, see what I did there? You're going to share this with one or two other people within the next 2 days. Find your people. It matters. If you don't have those people, then in the next couple days, you start praying for that, and you start searching for that, and you start looking for that. We can set up opportunities with people here at Country Hills. We can, as it were, you know, create dates between people, but we can't make you be friends or relate or connect with each other outside here. You have to do that on your own, and it's important to church family, and it's important to you. We do not live our Christian lives following Jesus in a vacuum. When you do, you fail, you fall, you stumble. It doesn't work. You've tried it. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Find your people. So in the next two days, talk to them. It might be awkward. Hey, I was praying, and God said I should. Would you check in on me? Could I? See where it goes. Secondly, begin. All right? Begin today. At absolute latest, begin tomorrow. Set your things up today. Start tomorrow. And then by Wednesday, have your person check in on you. Okay? So find your people. Start today. And then you can be checked in. I promise you that it will change everything. How many have seen the film War Room? Anybody seen that? So I hope to bring that here when it comes out on DVD. It's a great film. Sometimes I don't like to see Christian films because sometimes they're cheesy. Oh, did I say that? But there's great messages in them. And this one was really good. I'll tell you, I was really mad walking out of that theater because it was packed full of well-meaning Christians who were talking when they shouldn't have and all sorts of other stuff. But they were, talking at the screen, and this is such a great movie. And I walked out of there so upset because I just felt in my spirit that I bet you 90, 95% of the people walk out of here and go, what a great movie about prayer, about having a prayer closet and a family shaped by nothing more than learning to pray, and I bet you they won't pray. Bet you they won't pray. Moved tons and thought it was great and did nothing. And that's what I want you to stay away from. If we don't make practical tracks to go along, we'll fail every time. I want you all to have lives of prayer, not just prayer life, but lives of prayer. I want us to be a praying church, a church of prayer, not a church with prayer. Could you imagine what would be different with us and our relationships, our influence on those around us, if we changed in this way? Can you imagine what would be different? I'm not saying that none of you are spending time with God. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying that I know me, and if you're like me, it's probably not great, and it can be amazing. God wants you alone with him because that's how he changes you, and that's how he changes the world. I don't want you to feel guilty about not spending time with him. I want you to feel called to that. And then once you are, I want you to feel guilty about not following through. No. I believe in you, and I believe we can be that church and that God is shaping and changing us. But it depends not on our leadership, not on our programs, not on our sermons, not on our facilities. It depends on what you do alone with God. And when we get alone with God and he changes us, he's going to change everything. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you.